FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
The Phil Nason Show is on in 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Welcome to the Phil Nason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We'll be here for the entire hour, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. Coming up later on, we're going to do a FanDuel Fantasy Basketball segment for Wednesday for tonight. And if you are playing over at FanDuel or want to play over at FanDuel, this might be the segment for you. Later on, Rush Olson and I will talk a little baseball, hot stove baseball. But up first, the Utah Jazz hanging tough, and that's what we like to see. They're not getting blown out too much. They're still 5-13, but they're okay. And joining me to talk all about them from the number one and only Utah Jazz website that I prefer to read, and only one I actually do read. Please welcome Amar to the show. Amar, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for that awesome intro. I'm doing okay. I think the Jazz are doing okay as well. And you just got to look at it in the big picture of things. It's a learning year. They're not going to win every game. But,
yeah,
you know, as you said, they're hanging tough. You know, 2-point loss to Denver, you know, that's not bad. Denver's a above 500 team in the Western Conference. You got to like that.
How is Denver an above 500 team?
Aren't they an above 500 team?
No, that's what I mean. They are, but I don't know how. They're awful.
Yeah, and that's the surprising thing. Like, they have a really what I liked about Denver is the fact that they have a pretty good there isn't a big drop-off in talent when they go to their bench, and that's probably why they're above 500. Like, they're not super reliant upon the five guys starting. You know, they've got Gallo coming off the bench and stuff like that. Nate Robb, our favorite player. So,
little Nate. Gotta love little Nate. This is supposed to be the Utah Jazz. Why did I even bring up the Denver? Oh, you brought the Denver up.
I brought it up only in because the Jazz are doing all right.
Oh, okay. Because we talked about the Denver team yesterday on the Blazers Edge podcast. I'm getting sick of talking about the Denver Nuggets. And I'm sick of Brian Shaw. I wish he would just leave the NBA along with Derek Fisher and about 12 other coaches. But I'm not interested in those people right now. What I'm interested in, Quinn Snyder is turning into be one of my favorite coaches. He's doing a good job.
Yeah, he's a beast. I love the way that he's able to get players to focus for a short amount of time. And that's especially what you need when you're dealing with younger players who may get distracted or they may get too emotionally invested in how their individual performance is so that they lose track of what the big picture is within the game. And I think Quinn is like that disciplinarian. He gets them on the same page for the key moments. And, you know, he got into it with, you know, almost every single player during the last few games. And you kind of have to do that because the team has dropped the last few games.
Six in a row, to be specific. But the thing is this, but it doesn't seem like it in a way. How's the fan base taking this? Because this is a fan base, and this kind of, you know, I'm seeing this with the Oklahoma City Thunder people, especially because they're a very young fan base, is they've never seen hard times before. Utah fans, since, you know, they didn't see that many hard times. How are they taking this?
I think that they're taking it very well. They understand the ebb and flow of a franchise. Like, they inherited the New Orleans Jazz, and that was a team that wasn't winning any games, and the team wasn't winning any games in Utah either for a while. The fan base in Utah actually started off with the ABA, the Utah Stars, and they were a pretty good team with a very young teenager named Moses Malone, which some NBA fans now forget about, that he was a beast. But this team saw the rise and fall of the Jazz a few times, and they understand that these things do take time. And a guy like Quinn is the right guy for the job. He's not trying to win every single game. He's trying to win the games that matter down the road. And in order to get there, he's got to go the hard path. And that's what they're doing right now.
Yeah, it's a tough path right now, but you know, all in all, they're not doing too bad and they seem to be pretty healthy, right?
Yeah, well, you say that today, and we're getting all this news that that Derek Favors missed the last game for flu-like symptoms. Alec Burks is questionable today with left shoulder inflammation. Jeremy Evans has got a sprained ankle, and he's already doubtful. So it's kind of funny. They've had a very good run of consistency with health, but now you're going to get to see a little bit more diversity in the roster on the five-man lineups. They recalled former Nick Toure Murray from the D League again. It looks like they need bodies, and it looks like it's a good time in the season to try and switch things up.
You know what? I thought I was thinking about that too. Actually, it was you that brought it up to me in an email. Is it's time to switch things up. Now, how do you switch things up with this roster? What would you do if you were Quinn Snyder to switch things up and to try something new? How would you tinker with it?
Yeah, well, obviously, when you have starters who are going to be down, you have to change the starting lineup. I wouldn't necessarily make that the focus. I think the focus has to be in trying different five-man lineups during the course of the game. So instead of having the same regimented idea that, oh, well, it's 6 minutes left, we got to make substitutions, it should be based upon the personnel that you have. Personally, there are a lot of crazy ideas out there, but the one which interests me the most right now seems to be trying to go a little bit bigger, but it's not going to happen right now, mainly because Derek Favors, we don't know what his status is. But a lot of fans want to see the starters, the regular guys, Trey, Alec, Gordon, and Derek, but put Rudy Gobert there. He seems to make a huge impact on defense, and that's been the number one concern for the Jazz in the last little while. And it's kind of funny that when he's in the game, he is a game changer. So I think that's the first thing I would like to see. What do you think about that?
Moving Gobert into the starting lineup and dropping Enes Kanter.
Well, not necessarily the starting lineup, but at least have that pairing on the floor, Favors and Gobert in
I
the
think it
game.
would be more athletic in a way. I think that's your future, honestly, because I don't see Kanter staying. Maybe they do. Maybe they keep him. But I like Rudy Gobert. He plays very good defense. He's a joy to watch at times, and he's always seems to be on the plus side of things. Of the per, if you follow that sort of thing, he seems to stay there, and that's a good thing. And it looks like that there's a good chemistry there. Boy, I heard somewhere, I guess it was last night, I was listening to something, and they were talking about Rudy Gobert at starting and Enes Kanter getting traded possibly. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of tough to trade a possible or a restricted free agent. It's not easy to do that, but. Gobert, I don't know if he's a starter. Maybe, but he should. He played 24 minutes against, I guess it was Denver, right?
Denver, yeah.
So I mean, he's getting some time, right? What's he averaging, about 20 minutes a game?
I think that he's a little bit less than that. He's probably closer to 15, which is what I thought that he should have been playing last year. But I think that the biggest thing with Rudy is that he is developing into a two-way player. So eventually you're going to have to rely on him a little bit more because you can. I don't know if he's started already this year either. We may see him in the starting lineup during stretches because you never know what the season holds, but I definitely think that he's a guy that you have to find more minutes for. And if that means pairing him up with Derek Favors, that's a very good start. One of my good friends, I'm afraid I'm going to butcher his name here, but his name is Jumbare Moreau, and he writes all over the place. He said that, why don't we try a different lineup where it's Trey Burke, Dante Exum as the guards? So that way you get both of them, and that also pushes Alec Burks back to the bench where he can be a more dangerous single-minded scorer. I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm not interesting. I'm not completely sold on the idea of Dante as a starter right now. Maybe in 2 or 3 years. But at this stage, I do think that we need to see more of Trey and Dante on the floor at the same time, because you're not just evaluating one or the other. You also have to evaluate them together. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is by playing them at the same time.
That's not a bad thought. I'm thinking of starting Dante Exum and letting Trey Burke come off the bench. I don't see Trey Burke as a starting point guard in the NBA.
Yeah, well, he's not playing like one right now, and to our chagrin, neither is Dante Exum. He's not even assertive enough as a backup point guard at this stage. And I think that's part of the problem is that when you draft these young guys, Trey Burke was drafted at the age of 20. Dante was drafted at the age of 18 and turned 19 during the summer of before his rookie year started. You're getting these guys with the hope that they're going to develop into something years down the road. So the player that you draft isn't even the player that you have in your hand because you're drafting that idea. And I think with the idea that we have of these two guys, you know, we actually have to wait a few years to get there. And it's disappointing because you're like, okay, well, you want the guy to come in and have a big impact. These two kids don't have that big impact right now. And I'm going to seem like a homer here, but I always look back at Chauncey Billups. Billups played for something like, you know, three or four teams in his first 6 or 7 years. And that's the case with a number of point guards like Jared Bayless or, you know, I'm forgetting some of them, but like that could be the path of Trey Burke as a guy who has to take a few years before he finds himself in the NBA. Personally, I think he just needs to get a shot falling and that will make the rest of his game look a little bit easier.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough. I'll tell you something. You want to talk about being assertive. Somebody better be assertive tonight against the Toronto Raptors or they're going to get run right out of the gym. DeMar DeRozan's out, but Grievous Vasquez has stepped into the starting lineup and they've got a dangerous combo back there in that backcourt. How does Utah counter that?
I think what they're going to have to do is that they are going to have to try out Trey Burke and Dante Exum at the same time. The only alternative is to go a little bit deeper in their bench than they want to and probably play Trey Burke because he's like 6'5", 6'6". He's a bigger body. He may be able to defend Vasquez a little bit better, leaving Gordon Hayward out there to not have to do that. Because if you have Hayward having to struggle against point guards, then that makes him less of a moneymaker in crunch time on offense. So it's going to be tough against Toronto. They're still one of the best teams in the East, even without DeRozan. I think most fans are always happy to see what's going to happen between Enes Kanter and Jonas Valanciunas because they were drafted almost one after another back in the day. And it seems like one of those guys has stepped up to be a regular starter and the other guy is someone that we still have questions about.
Yeah, but he played pretty good against Denver. You know, when Derek Favors isn't around, he becomes one of the higher ranked options and he can take care of his business. But when he's out there with Favors, and I think that kind of leads more credibility to your desire to see Gobert and Favors. I think so, yeah, because I don't think Kanter and Favors work well together. Of course, Tyrone Corbin didn't let that happen very often last year. Would they play 38 or 101 minutes together as a unit? I mean, whatever it was, but it is what it is. Toronto's still got a very good team. That inside battle should be interesting. If Favors doesn't play, look for Kanter. If you're playing fantasy tonight, Kanter's going to go off like a freaking dynamite keg or powder keg. He's going to be something tonight. What else do we look for tonight?
Well, it's going to be the same problem for the Jazz is that their bench hasn't been producing, whereas Toronto is like an almost absolutely stacked team with just how deep that they can go, even with injuries. Like James Johnson, he always seems to have good games against the Jazz. Is his name James Johnson?
Yes, it would be. Yeah, he played for Memphis last year.
Yeah, and he used to be a part of the Raptors as well. And like he's specifically that type of player who seems to be the guy that the Jazz never scout right. They never defend right during the game and can get open and be dangerous. His game is kind of like Linus Kleiza in that regard. You know, he's a big guy. He can get rebounds. And if he's hot from outside, he's going to kill you. And that's definitely something that Utah currently has no answer for. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight, though, because Toronto is a fun team. They play with a little bit of pace, and they're a great measuring stick for the Jazz. And for whatever reason, Utah has stepped up against the good teams, but gotten killed by the mediocre teams, it seems like. So this could be another good game.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. They seem to do that a lot. And after tonight's game with Toronto, the Utah Jazz are at home again against Orlando. Then they take the road on Monday against Sacramento. Then they go back home against San Antonio on Tuesday. We'll talk about all that next week. If I'm looking at this schedule, I'm looking at this Utah Jazz team, and I didn't want to pin numbers on them at all this year, but I'm going to pin a number on them this week. I say they upset Toronto tonight because Gordon Hayward's going to kick the crap out of these guys at home. I say they knock off Orlando, and I say they give Boogie another shot in the butt. I say they win three straight before you come back.
Yeah, if only that was the case. I'm probably a little bit more conservative on this. I think that they have Orlando. They have Orlando's number as well. You know, their big man, Nick, he's strong inside. They've got Channing Frye, but I don't know if he's an impact player anymore. But for whatever reason, Trey Burke hates Orlando, and he always goes out there to kick their butts. I think he's averaging something like 23 points or something against them. I think that's in the bag. Toronto is a iffy. Sacramento, you could be right on this. If Utah's playing with a little bit more pride, if they're playing with some momentum, I could easily see them doing that. The Kings are a great team. They're winning a lot more games than people thought. But I still like my Jazz, especially if they're healthy.
Absolutely. We won't even talk about the San Antonio game. We'll talk about that next week. Amar, great stuff today. Thanks for being on the show with me.
My pleasure.
That was Amar. You can find him over at slcdunk.com. And if you're listening from SB Nation, you want to tune into this next segment because we're going to teach you how to win some cash with the Flash. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return after these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
Everybody get up. People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think, and it probably comes from porn as well.
You know
what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out. My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
If you're looking for a great Portland Trail Blazers talk radio show, then look no further than the Blazers Edge podcast with Dave Deckard and Phil Nasons. For weekly hard-hitting commentary about your Trailblazers and fun NBA talk as well, please try the Blazers Edge podcast at blazersedge.com. Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
We're on Forget, and you're listening to Phil Nason's Show.
Father John, I'm in love with your daughter. Oh, the one with the champagne eyes. She knows that I love her, even when she tells me lies.
tells me lies.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. We're going to do something a little different today on Wednesday, and every Wednesday we're going to do a segment of Daily Fantasy Basketball. We're going to run it with FanDuel, not sponsored by FanDuel exactly, but my guest writes for PeachtreeHoops.com. He also is the owner of RotoAdvice.com. SB Nation has a FanDuel thing. I do a lot of work with SB Nation people. I also have my own FanDuel thing. You could choose which one you want to be. We're not even going to promote either one of our accounts. All we're going to do is help you win cash playing FanDuel Sports. And joining me to do just that, from RotoAdvice.com and PeachtreeHoops.com, Jason Walker is in the house. Jason, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Oh, Phil, I'm loving it, man. We got a big slate tonight and anxious to get in there, get involved, doing great.
Yeah, me too. Now I'm in a. I did this. I was gonna write my normal column over at Max Sports Channels, but I decided not to because I decided to promote the show instead through it. But my slate that I filled out and entered for tonight has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games.
That's right.
Yeah. 10
games. That is correct.
I've got them all. How about that?
Yes, sir.
I didn't join the late one. I got in the earliest one. I think I did it at 6:30 this morning. These are subject to change, but what we're going to do is we're going to give you our reasons for why we pick players. And if you want to ask questions that you want answered on the show, you know how to do it. You can catch me over at philnasonshow.com. Or you can call the voicemail, and that will be in the show notes because, like an idiot, I don't have it in front of me. So, and it's a new number, so I can't remember. You know, I can't remember everything. But let's get started, Jason. You can find this posted probably at several sites, and if you're an SB Nation site and you really don't have any idea about daily fantasy sports, contact me, and I will give you the source code for the player every Wednesday that you can put up in your own website, in your own blog posting. That has nothing to do with my show. You don't have to link to my show or anything. We're just trying to help you guys out because we don't want to see people lose cash, do we, Jason?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We want to get you involved. If you've never played Daily Fantasy before, we just want to make it easy for you to get in and have some fun on a big slate like tonight.
And it is a big slate. Now, it depends on what kind of contest you're in. I think this one has only 100 participants. So, and I think I put up a buck. And it's my own money, and the prizes if you win are $25. I don't know what the SB Nation link in your respective site has, but I'm sure they're probably a lot more. What do you like playing better? You like playing these small little cozy ones, or you like playing those monster ones for monster cash?
Well, it's usually if you're doing a 50-50 or something like that, you're going to be in a smaller group anyway. They do have some of the sites, including FanDuel, do have larger ones that get up to like 550. But the tournament contest is just a matter of how you want to play. If you want to play it safe and you're good with that, then, you know, doing the smaller contest is a good idea. Get your feet in the water, because the larger tournaments, you really have to play more of the margins, a little more strategy involved. There's bigger upside. I mean, that's the ones where you can take down, you know, $8,000 for first place, and your multipliers go up as you go along. Personally, I like doing a little bit of both. I like getting engaged in different strategies. I like a tournament strategy where I'm zigging while everybody else is zagging, like you may have done last night with the Phoenix guys. But, you know, at the same time, the 50-50s are nice. It builds up your account, builds up your bankroll. It's a nice way to get in there. You don't have to hit a home run. You just have to be solid across the board and have a good time doing it.
Well, that's exactly right. I don't mind the big ones, but I like the smaller ones too. And just for the purpose of this, my column, I just pick the first one available and play it and make my picks. And then I do some other things too, but I usually keep the same team. Maybe I'll switch here and there. But my goal in this, generally speaking, if you want to cash at FanDuel, that's the only site we're going to talk about today, you generally will need 300 points. That's what you have to try to get out of 9 players. Now, you might – and I'm not talking – what I'm saying is 900 or 300 fantasy points, because they're a little bit different. It's not like your standard league. It's more like this. They count rebounds, big. Points, big. Assists, big. The rest, that's immaterial. It's not like your regular league where they count everything. You want to focus on that. So technically, you want to try to find players, enough players to get you 300 points. The other thing I try to do, Jason, is I try to get 5 points for every $1,000 I spend on these guys. That's how I do it.
Yeah, it's good. If you're playing on FanDuel, if you take a salary, like if you Chris Paul's $10,000, then you want to get 50 points out of him for that kind of deal. So that's a good strategy there.
Well, thank you. I try my best. I don't do too bad at this daily fantasy basketball, at least. I did quite well last week, but this week is another week. It's still early, but let's go. Let's get after this, and let's. We got about 10 minutes. That's all it'll take for this. It's not like our football segment. Okay, my point guards tonight. I'm going with Mike Connolly for 6,900 and Mo Williams at 5,600. Now, here's my reasoning. Mike Connolly has averaged 30 fantasy points over his last four games. They are playing against Houston. Houston's backcourt sucks defensively. I think he's going to mop up. Mo Williams, he's been a torrential downpour on everyone he's played since he took the starting job when Rubio went down. He's been just killing it. $5,600 is cheap for a guy who's averaging about 34 fantasy points a night. They're playing against Philadelphia tonight. We all know about Philadelphia. That's why I did what I did. Who do you got tonight?
I do like Mo Williams, especially if you're looking to save a little cash in the point guard position. Mo Williams sets up really well. He has a lot more usage when Kevin Martin went down too. A lot more usage for Mo Williams, and he's a good play, especially when you have a good matchup, $5,600 on FanDuel. If you're going to spend some money on the point guard position, love John Wall at home. He is a monster at home, and he gets to face Jeremy Lin and the Lakers tonight. This is a huge, huge game for John Wall. He's 9,000 on FanDuel, which I think is a little bit of a bargain because I think that he will exceed the 45 points for value out there on FanDuel. Love John Wall at home. If you don't want to spend that, you want to go a little bit less, 8,700 for Kyle Lowry with DeMar DeRozan hurt. Lowry's usage has gone up into the Kobe Bryant range in terms of how many possessions he uses the ball. He is scoring like crazy right now. He's not cheap. He's 8,700 on FanDuel, a little less than Wall if you want to do it that way. The other guy at the point guard position that a lot of people are going to be on is Grievous Vasquez, Lowry's backcourt mate. He's the one filling in for DeRozan. He scored 28 fantasy points last night. His price, I believe, is $3,900 on FanDuel. Nice discount guy. He's a guy a lot of the guys are going to use tonight to try to get some of the more expensive players in their lineup. If you want to go deep, 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 deep discount, you can look to that Minnesota-Philadelphia game. Similar to Vasquez, Alexei Shved has been getting there. He's a game-time decision tonight. But he's been coming off the bench and scoring about a fantasy point a minute, and he has a great matchup against the defensively clueless Timberwolves tonight.
Nice picks. I like them all. You know what? Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how you sum that up. If he plays, he's questionable. You have to check that wire at the last minute of the game. Good stuff, though. Good stuff. My shooting guards, Jimmy Butler from Chicago and Kyle Korver from Atlanta. I'm taking Butler. Butler, why? Because he's had almost 40 points a fantasy game over his last four. Charlotte has a terrible defense. Jimmy Butler's been on fire. I look for him to just blow Lance Stephenson completely up. And Kyle Korver, here's why. Miami is a terrible three-point defending team. Kyle Korver is going to shoot. And at $5,300, that's my value pick. Now, I'm going back and forth on that one. I still might not keep him, but I like it so far. And there's a reason for why I picked a couple cheap guys. Who you got tonight?
Well, I love Jimmy Butler. He's been a fantasy Frankenstein because he's been putting it all together this year. He's almost matchup proof. He's $8,000 on FanDuel, which means you're looking for about 40 fantasy points, and he's delivering every game. And it doesn't matter how he's getting it. He's so aggressive. He gets to the free throw line. He's got Charlotte tonight, which, you know, Lance Stephenson is back and forth whether he can lock you down or whether he's interested. But Butler, it doesn't seem to matter who's against him right now. He's it. So I love both the Butler and the Korver picks. Obviously, I'm all about Kyle Korver from the ATL against that three giving a Miami defense, giving up three-pointers a game from the shooting guard position. Korver is set up to have a nice game, even though he had a good one last night. Put that out of your mind. Don't play games with yourself. Look at the matchup. If it makes sense, then roster him. Even if he had a bad game the game before, or if he had a good game, don't overthink it. Kyle Korver's got a nice matchup tonight against Miami. So if I'm going to pivot off that, I'm going to say Monte Ellis. Monte, who came through for Dallas last night, has a nice matchup against Washington, but his usage has been very good. Dallas, with having Jameer Nelson and Devin Harris, sometimes look for Monte to pick up the slack. He's been playing pretty well. He's a little bit less. He's 7,300 on FanDuel. But my discount pick, and again, this is something that you check the lineups for, if Patrick Beverley and Isaiah Kanan are still out for Houston, Jason Terry is picking up point guard minutes for the Houston Rockets. So even though he's going against Conley, who you correctly identify is going to have a good game against JT because Jet doesn't play much defense, at $3,800, Jason Terry can be a nice play to go against the guys that are rostering Grievous Vasquez. You can get your low number guy with Jason Terry at $3,800 on FanDuel. And Jason produced over 30 fantasy points last time out.
He sure did. Those are great picks, man. Great stuff. I like it. Now, small forwards. I got Chandler Parsons going against Milwaukee tonight, 6,200. And then I'm taking Josh Smith, you people from the ATL's favorite player. I'm taking him against Boston tonight, $7,600. And here's why. He's averaged 41 fantasy points over his last four games. Here's the other reason. Boston is dead last in the NBA in points in the paint, giving up points in the paint. They're awful. He's going to have a field day. Even though I can't stand the sight of the guy, I'm looking forward to those fantasy numbers rolling. Chandler Parsons, that's going to be a fun one. He's averaged close to 30 points in his last four nights. That Milwaukee played last night, they were just plumb awful. And they're going to be plumb awful again tonight. Go Chandler Parsons. Who you got?
Yeah, I love Josh Smith. Josh Smith was in my roster last night. Huge night last night. Love it. Boston is near dead last again with fantasy points given up at the power forward position. Josh, is a box. He's a box score stuffer and puts up the fantasy points. Great blocks and steals, which gives you some multiplying points there as well. Nice pick there. I like Kawhi Leonard going against Brooklyn tonight. He's a nice value for $7,300. Kawhi has just been putting up some major numbers. Brooklyn struggling at defending the small forward position. But I like the discount. I like KJ McDaniels coming off the bench in Philadelphia, getting over 30 minutes a game. And, man, he's like Josh Smith Jr. He's filling it up. And he's got Minnesota tonight, which looked clueless when they were playing the other night. McDaniels should get in there and far outproduce his value point. He's at 4,700 on FanDuel, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him put up at least 30 fantasy points tonight coming off the bench for Philadelphia. Love me some KJ McDaniels. In fact, I need some daily fantasy sports therapy because I think I like a little too much of this Minnesota-Philadelphia game.
Yeah, I think you do too. Well, it's good, though. That's the kind of stuff that you look for, these kind of matchups where you're going to see a lot of points scored and sloppy defense, and that's a beautiful thing. Now I'm going to call out my big three because we've got 2 minutes to go here.
Do it.
Nikola Mirotic, or Mirotic, however you Americans want to say it. I'm taking him at power forward, $4,800. Zach Randolph's my other power forward at 7,800 because Houston, without the weird, that's Dwight Howard. Forget about them. And Tyson Chandler, who's been blowing everybody up, has Milwaukee tonight, $7,000. Those are my three.
I love that. If you're looking for some discounts at the power forward position, Cody Zeller against Chicago, don't love that matchup. Love the $3,800 price point. Josh McRoberts in Miami has been taking the wrong rollover from Sean Williams. McDaniels is a good value pick for 4,100 against Atlanta tonight. He's the kind of guy that always gives Atlanta fits. Seems like easy to make value there. I like Thad Young, Minnesota. Philadelphia is terrible against the power forward position. Again, I may like too many people in that matchup. But at center, I agree with you. I love Tyson Chandler, but there's a lot to choose from at the center position. I love Marcin Gortat against the Lakers, DeAndre Jordan against the Magic, Horford against Miami. Miami's terrible against centers. Al Horford could be a good pick there. And Gorgui Dieng against Philadelphia is a good pick there too. But if you want the super discount pick, at center. It's Kyle O'Quinn filling in for Vucevic tonight out there against the Clippers. DeAndre Jordan, despite the block shot, struggles in terms of giving up fantasy points. And Kyle O'Quinn is 4,500 on FanDuel and produced very well against Andrew Bogut last night.
Yes, he did, didn't he? He sure did. Now, Vucevic is listed as questionable for tonight, but Kyle O'Quinn will be a nice pickup. Those are nice pickups. And you know what? The biggest thing is what Jason said. Try not to overthink these things too much. Just pick your themes and see what happens. And keep notes. That's what I do. I have notes on everything that I've done since the beginning of the season. I know who did well, under what circumstances, and who didn't. And that's important to do. Anyway, great stuff today. Good luck out there, Jason. Good luck out there, SB Nation people. And thanks for tuning in.
Cash out.
That's exactly right. That was Jason Walker. You can find him over at rotoadvice.com as well as peachtreehoops.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return after these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
Everybody get up. People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out. My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epix Radio. Listen online, www.epixradio.com.
If you're looking for a great Portland Trail Blazers talk radio show, then look no further than the Blazers Edge podcast with Dave Deckard and Phil Nasons. For weekly hard-hitting commentary about your Trailblazers and fun NBA talk as well, please try the Blazers Edge podcast at blazersedge.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nason from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Hi, we're Rob Folkett, and you're listening to Phil Nason Show.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. We're wrapping up an amazing day of NBA fantasy basketball and now a little baseball, hot stove baseball. And joining me to talk all about one of the craziest things I've seen in a long time, the Josh Donaldson trade. And, of course, Nelson Cruz signing with the Mariners. Please welcome Rush Olson to the show. Rush, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Phil, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And you can find Rush, by the way, over at Rush Olson Creative and Sport. That's where he's from, rusholson.com. I got to tell you, one of the crazy – this Oakland bunch, you know, I think it's got to be – it has to be just difficult to be an Oakland A's fan. How do you root for a player because he gets rid of them quicker than anyone I've ever seen? How do you trade Josh Donaldson for Brett Laurie, an injury-prone guy, and a couple of pitching prospects, and then one infield prospect that's in the top 10? How do you get rid of your best hitter and do that, who you have until 2019, by the way?
Well, that was probably maybe the part that was going to be the most shocking to a lot of people, was that Donaldson was under club control for that long. I'm sure a big part of the issue was that his arbitration years are going to be very expensive if he continues to play well. And they wanted to move him out before they couldn't afford him. What I think is always interesting about the way the A's do business and the guy that's in charge, Billy Beane, is they are very reliant on their own evaluations of players. They seem to have a plan for how things are going to fit together. So this certainly won't be the last move they make this offseason. And it just makes it so interesting. I mean, on one hand, I definitely agree that it's tough being an A's fan where you develop loyalty to players and they get moved and you're wondering, this guy's a good player and we don't have him anymore. On the other hand, it's got to be fascinating trying to figure out what Billy Beane is thinking, because he always has a plan. It's just hard to figure out what it is.
You know, I write for AthleticsNation.com, the largest Oakland A's website in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Hall's my buddy. And we'll be talking about this on Friday, but oh, Maron, how silly is this? He gets rid of these guys. He got rid of Cespedes. He's gotten rid of Josh Donaldson. And for Brett Laurie, Brett Laurie hasn't played 100 games in the last 2 or 3 years. I don't like this trade at all.
I was confused by it looking at it. The prospects weren't as highly rated as you thought some might be for Donaldson. But again, Billy Beane evaluates guys his own way. And maybe they have a higher evaluation on some of those guys than the prospect rating services do. And Brett Laurie, yeah, if you can get him to be healthy, they feel like he's going to be productive. You're going from the artificial turf in Toronto to the natural grass in Oakland. Maybe they feel like that will have something to do with it. And that's what I can figure.
Well, you're thinking a lot more kindly than I am. I think Billy Beane lost his mind this time.
Oh, you could be right. It's not like the man's never made a mistake before, Phil. I mean,
right.
But you just, I think what intrigues me the most about it, especially since I don't really have a rooting interest, I'm not an A's fan, is trying to figure out what he is thinking. You know, how did they evaluate these prospects? What did their internal people see in Brett Laurie that they liked? You know, what maybe do we not know about Josh Donaldson that made them want to move him? Those are always the parts that intrigue me. And with Billy Beane, maybe more than anybody else, when you look at his moves, all the complicated thoughts run through your head. And I kind of like that.
No, I do too. That's what makes it interesting. But man, I mean, cheapers, creepers, trading away your best hitter. I mean, he's the only one. And in certain parts of the season when they started to slump, he's the only one that didn't. And I was like, wow, and he's under team control for that long. Maybe he sees something, like you said, maybe he realizes that maybe Donaldson's hit his ceiling and to trade him high. I mean, that's not a bad move if that's the case.
Well, and one thing I've definitely learned from working in baseball team front offices is you really don't know unless you know. There's oftentimes stuff that people know that are on the inside that we just don't have access to. And that's even more true today, I think, with all the different proprietary evaluation mechanisms that teams have put in. So, that doesn't mean it's a good move, by the way, but it is intriguing to wonder what their internal dialogue has been and what their next moves will be.
Maybe some hacker will let us find out.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I'm hoping for. I want to see some internal memos. Any of you out there who know how to hack into Billy Beane's account for us? Because, boy, I'll tell you what, we'll drop a scoop on him because I know he listens to this show. At least on Fridays he does. But
I'm sure he does. Why wouldn't he?
The athletic...
Which, by the way, I suppose I should distance from advocating, unlawful hacking.
Oh, right, yeah. I was only teasing, really, because it doesn't really matter. And, you know, here's another interesting thing. Kurt Young, the pitching coach.
Mm-hmm.
I refereed basketball games with his father.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Kurt and I played on the same Connie Mack team.
Nice.
But I'm not on the same team, but the same organization. He's older than me. But, sure. It was called Mean Stamping, one of the most powerhouse teams you'll ever find in Connie Mack. It was in Michigan. Matt Mieske was in that organization. Let's see who else. Several guys. I mean, it just is what it is. If you played for him, you went to college and played sports in some capacity.
Nice.
It was just a tremendous. This guy did so much. His name was Wendell Niemer. But anyhow, there's my little trivia. But back to the Blue Jays now. If you're the Blue Jays, you're probably very happy that you got rid of an injury-prone guy, two prospects who probably will never make it, and one top 10 guy who might make it for an all-star. But more importantly, you also have to wonder, because after they traded away half their farm club for R.A. Dickey, who's not done a single thing for that freaking team, then you start to wonder. This is why you kind of wonder, but this might not be the same thing. I think Donaldson, I think this was a coup for Anthopoulos over there, the Greek fella.
Well, supposedly they'd been after Donaldson for a while and finally put together the package that Oakland wanted. If you're Toronto, I look at this as a sign, and their other moves this offseason, I think, match up with it. You are going for it. You are looking to win something this coming up year. You mentioned the R.A. Dickey trade. Well, they signed Russell Martin, and now they've made this trade. I think is obviously just internally. A team always wants to win. If they think they have a window with, you know, prime years of, like a Jose Bautista, you've got to take advantage of it. But I think also part of it is they're looking at the AL East, and they're saying, you know, this division has been the bully for a long time. We have been able to get no traction here. We signed Roger Clemens. We have Carlos Delgado. We can't beat the Yankees. We can't beat the Red Sox. We can't beat the Rays in recent years, and then the Orioles. And now all of a sudden they're saying, you know what? This division is not what it was. We've got a window. We need to take advantage of it and win something. And I think these moves reflect that attitude.
You know, that's very good advice. And by the way, again, we don't advocate hacking into people's but if somebody does, we won't mind talking about it.
Right, yes. If it leaks, we'll certainly cover it. And my guess is that if there were leaks into the Blue Jays front office, that's exactly what it would discover.
Absolutely. And I hope we don't see any racial slurs either. Keep those out of there, because we don't want to talk about that either. But, you know, this is an interesting situation, an interesting thing you brought up. Russell Martin, that's going to be the steal of this hot stove signing period. I think he's fantastic. You know, and the other thing, too, is everyone talks about Encarnacion, and they talk about Bautista being on the trading block. That could still happen now. They've gotten that cushion because Donaldson can punch the ball out of the yard, and he's a lot more durable than Laurie was. So this could be interesting. It could be interesting to see what both these clubs do further on down the road during this hot stove season. We'll talk more about the A's on Friday with Alex Hall. Now let's move on to Nelson Cruz signing with Seattle. That caught me by surprise, Rush. I thought he was locked and loaded with Buck Showalter and the Orioles, but it looks like he disappeared. And now he's with the Seattle Mariners, who actually had a logjam out there in the outfield already, and now they've added to it. What do you think about that move?
Well, first of all, it plays into the whole theory, you know, that the Blue Jays may have. It, all of a sudden, the division leader has been seriously weakened, so that extends the window for a Blue Jays or a rebuilding Red Sox or whomever. From the standpoint of what happened, I think a lot of this had to do with contract. I think some of it might have had to do with getting to play with Robinson Cano, his countryman, and I think a lot of it was the Mariners were simply willing to give him a better contract than other people that wanted to sign him. And this is Nelson Cruz's last big multi-year contract, because he's getting to the age where he's likely not to land another one. And he felt like he had to take it. And I'm pretty happy for him. I don't know anybody in that Rangers organization when I worked there that did not like Nelson Cruz. This guy was one of those guys that always had a smile for you, easy to deal with. Liked by his teammates. Anyway, I'm pretty thrilled for the guy.
Yeah, I am too. You know, now you want to talk about coming back from a mess. He certainly did. And he did it with class, too. That's what I like about Nelson Cruz. And then all he did is he didn't say a word. He just went out there and went bombs away for the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles aren't where they were last year without that. And Seattle got themselves a heck of a player, a quality human being, too. Forget about that steroid mess. Everybody makes a mistake. But bottom line is they're going to be really good with that signing, re-signing Seager. They've got Cano over there. They've got King Felix. They've got a nice little pitching staff that we're starting to come around. That's a team to be reckoned with. You know, a lot of people are already starting to say that the Seattle Mariners are going to win the West. I wouldn't go that far just yet, but, boy, they sure are going for it, aren't they?
They sure are. That division has the potential to be nasty, again, depending on what Oakland ends up being. But, I mean, you've potentially got four, postseason caliber teams in that division, and the Astros are getting better. So you've got an AL West that could be really stout. You know, the one thing about this move that I wasn't sure about was Cruz and how his power is going to play in that ballpark. If you remember a few years back when they signed Adrian Beltre and Richie Sexton, it didn't work out because that right-handed power and that park in general just stifles power hitters. And I'll be interested to see how Nelson adjusts to that. I hope certainly for his sake he adjusts well. But I've always wondered if Seattle shouldn't build their team a little differently and sign more players like Robinson Cano. But, I mean, Nelson Cruz is a good hitter and does play 81 games on the road. So I'll be interested to see.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And, yeah, the West could be really nasty because everybody kind of stuck a fork in Texas already, and that's stupid because they were the hottest team in baseball the last 45 games. Then you've got the Angels, who were just phenomenal last year. We don't know what the A's are going to do, but let's not write them off. Moneyball works. We've seen it work. And now we've got these Mariners. Forget about the Houston Astros, man. Don't bring those guys up. They're awful.
Ah, but they're getting better. They made good draft picks with all those terrible years, and I'm not saying that they're going to win anything this year because I'm certain they won't. But they're an improving team, and it's not so much that they're going to win anything. It's that they might spoil some things for somebody else because they have some Jose Altuve has a big game, or you know somebody does something well.
Altuve is my boy, though, man. He came out of nowhere and won the batting crown. God bless him. But you know something, man? Forget the Houston. Why did you bring these people up? Anyway, you know I'm only kidding. I love the Houston Astro faithful, but I don't want to talk about 90 lost teams. I already talked about the Mets, for God's sakes.
I see.
Yeah, I can't have this. And then we got to talk about the Cubs, too, because we want to, because they're going to be great. But honest to goodness, this was a good signing. I'm really thrilled for the American League West. It looks like I'm going to lose a lot of sleep, but then I don't sleep that much anyway, because I'm going to be watching those games. Because that's going to be fantastic out there in the West. Fantastic. You know, you ought to move your teams to the East so that we don't have to lose any sleep watching your great baseball. And they're going to be in for a treat, that West. You brought up a good point. When you look at the Seattle team, though, you look, wow, that was a big signing. Are they going to be able to do anything else?
I kind of think so. They're rumored to be in on Matt Kemp. I mean, there's... I get the impression they are also all in now. I mean, once you made that Robinson Cano signing last year, you said, we want to win and we want to do it now, and we're not going to let anything stop us. And because they have such stout competition in that AL West, they got to continue to do things.
People laughed about that, said Seattle was stupid. People are crazy out there who thought that. What did you think? They were going to spend $300 million and not find somebody to play with him? And Seager played great. This is a good team, and they've got these young guys. They got the right mix, too. And with Nelson Cruz, now here's the deal, though. And we've only got about 30 seconds, so I guess I'll finish the show with my deal.
Yes.
Austin Jackson, Michael Saunders, and Dustin Ackley, all three of them are arbitration, either 3-2 or 1 at the end of this season. One of those guys are going to get traded, obviously. Which one will it be? I'm going to say it's going to be Austin Jackson. And if they do, they're going to trade for another pitcher, and they're going to be deadly, Rush, really deadly. What do you think?
I think it could happen, especially if they ended up making some sort of deal for a Matt Kemp to replace Jackson or, you know, whatever you want to do there. They've got assets to play with.
They sure do, especially this Michael Saunders kid, because he's arbitration too eligible anyway. Rush, great stuff today. I figured that's all we would get in. but it was very good. Have a great week, my friend. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You do the same, Phil. Thanks.
All right. That was Rush Olson, and you can find him at rusholson.com. And once again, we do not advocate hacking. It was just a joke. That's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. I want to thank all my guests for making this an amazing, amazing day of sports talk. Until next time, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly,
ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.